St. John chapter 18. Beginning reading at verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. And of course that saying was that he would be turned over to the hands of the Gentiles. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Amen. Okay, that will be the scripture reading, excuse me, for today. The question now, why did these bloodthirsty Jews, these Christ-hating Jews, take Jesus to Pilate? Why didn't they just take him out and murder him in cold blood like they did Stephen, and like their fathers did the prophets that went before them? Why did they take him to Pilate for trial? Well, there are several reasons which I would like to offer you this morning. In Luke 23, we read, And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is a king. It looks to me like they had three basic accusations there. We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is a king. The reason that they took Jesus to Pilate was not that they were not hateful enough to murder him in cold blood, but they were afraid of the common people. They might lose their prestige, the respect and reverence that the people had for them, because the common people heard Jesus gladly. Jesus did have people that loved him. There were many people that loved Jesus in that day, but there was this crowd. There was this religious leadership crowd that hated him with all their hearts. And they wanted to destroy him from off the face of the earth because he threatened their business. And being afraid of the people, they thought, now, if, rather than us taking him out and stoning him or killing him, if we can get Pilate to condemn him to death, if we can get the Roman soldiers to nail him to the cross, then we will at least feel free and be free in the eyes of the people from some of the guilt that they will hold against us. And so they took Jesus to Pilate for trial.
And of course, when they said that it is unlawful for us to put, or it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, they meant that for a death against Rome, they were not allowed to kill him, or for a sedition against Rome, or treason against Rome, they were not allowed to put a man to death. And so they used this as the accusations against him. As we read in
23, 1 and 2, And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ the King, which would be a threat to the throne at Rome. This was their accusations against Jesus Christ before Pilate. But they're real. Now remember, they hated Rome. They said, we have no king but Caesar. Oh, and would they have liked to kill Caesar? They hated Caesar. They were using this as an excuse to have Jesus executed. And they didn't want to pay tribute to Caesar. They would pervert the nation. They didn't want to pay tribute to Caesar at all. The real accusations that they had against Jesus, we read in the scriptures, in the four gospels, when we read where Jesus was in a house one day and all of a sudden the sun started shining through, or the rain fell through, or whatever the weather was that day, because the tiling was removed from the roof and a man with palsy was let down on a couch right in front of Jesus. These people couldn't get to Jesus because there were so many other people already jammed in the house. They couldn't get through the doors, front door, back door, side door. They had to come through the roof, but they had faith. And when Jesus saw their faith and he saw this poor helpless man before them, he said, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And right away, those Christ-hating Jews said, who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Only God can forgive sins. Who is this man? They began to accuse him of blasphemy. This was one of the real accusations that they had against Jesus. Who is this that forgiveth sins? We know this morning that he is innocent of blasphemy because Jesus Christ forgiveth sins. Praise the Lord. We know him, the one who forgives us of our sins. They accused him again. When in several cases the maimed and the halt were brought before him, even the blind, and Jesus would look round about on him at those that were in his presence and were going to accuse him and had accused him falsely of so many things, and now they would accuse him of profaning or not keeping the Sabbath day. And Jesus looked around about him with anger because of the hardness of their hearts. And he healed those people on the Sabbath day. And then he turned to them and he said, which one of you that has a child, a male child, 8 years old, 8 days old, will not circumcise that child on the eighth day? Which one of you, if his donkey fall into a ditch, will not retrieve him from the ditch on the Sabbath day? He said, furthermore, I am the Lord of the Sabbath also. Praise the Lord. He was not guilty of that accusation against him. He was accused another time when he was eating with publicans and sinners. He was accused of being a friend of publicans and sinners. And oh, I thank God today that Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. Because I was a sinner and I needed a friend. And Jesus Christ was that friend that I needed. I thank God today that he is a friend of sinners. These accusations that they claimed against Jesus were false over and over again. And now they make up these other accusations so that they can have Jesus killed. We read in John chapter 18. Verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? I'm not acquainted with this problem. I don't think you are a threat to Rome. I don't know what you have done. I'm not a Jew. I am a Roman. But sir, what have you done that you should be brought to this trial? I find you innocent. What have you done? What is it you have done? Oh, if Pilate only could have left the courtyard there for a moment. Oh, if he only could have left the judgment hall and walked the streets of the city of Jerusalem. If he could have walked down the streets of the city of Jerusalem and met the Samaritan woman there. And if Pilate could have said, what has he done? And the woman would have said to Pilate, "He told me all things that ever I've done. He forgave me of my sins. He gave me water to drink whereof I will never thirst again. And I have drunk of that water. I have found eternal life." Oh, if Pilate would have continued down the street, and I can go through the Gospel of John this way. In the 5th chapter of John, we read of the man, the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. What if Pilate would have asked him, "What has he done?" This impotent man at the pool of Bethesda in St. John chapter 5 would have said to Pilate, "I was helpless. I was impotent. I was there waiting for the waters, for the angel to move upon the waters so that I could thrust myself into the waters and be healed of my infirmity. But every time I would try to get in the water, being so slow of movement, another would go before me, and then I'd have to wait again, and I've been sick all these years. And Jesus Christ came to me one day. I didn't even know who he was, but he came unto me and he said, 'Wilt thou be made whole?' And he said unto me, 'Take up your bed and walk.' And I took up my bed and I am still walking." That's what he has done. Oh, praise the Lord. And we can go on to John 8. What would that woman who was so filled with sin in her life, and she was caught in the very act of adultery, and they dragged her before Jesus. What would they say? What would she say to Pilate if he asked her, "What has that man done?" I know what she'd say. She'd say, "He saved my life from stoning, and he forgave me all my sins, and I am a follower of Jesus Christ today. I love him. That's what he has done in my life." What would the blind man in St. John say? I know what he'd say, and you know what he would say this morning. The man that was born blind, Pilate, ask him, "What has Jesus done?" He would say, "Pilate, once I was blind, but now I see." Oh, praise God. What if Pilate would have stopped at Bethany and knocked on the door of the house of Mary and Martha? What has he done? They would say, "Sorrow and death visited our home and claimed the life of our only brother, Lazarus, until Jesus came by and turned our sorrow into joy, raised our brother from the dead, and he is healthy today." Oh, praise God. What would the leper say? "I am no longer a leper. He has cleansed me and made me whole." What would Jairus say about his 12-year-old daughter? She was sick. The master couldn't get there in time, and she died. The master said, "We're going anyway. Only believe God." And he raised my 12-year-old daughter from the dead, and she is alive and healthy today. What has he done? Ask Legion, the man who was infested with a multitude of demons. He would say, "He has restored me to my right mind. I can now function in society as a normal human being." Why? Because Jesus has done it all. Oh, praise God. What has he done? You know, in Jeremiah 2:5, Jeremiah asked Israel through the Spirit of God. God spoke and said, "Ask Israel, what have I done that your fathers have turned their backs on me and are living in sin and iniquity? What has Jehovah God done that you would treat him this way?" Jesus Christ appeared in the New Testament in John 8, and he said, "Which of you convinces me of sin? What wrong have I ever done? I have only done good. I went about doing good, healing all that were sick and oppressed, delivering the demon-possessed, restoring." What has he done? I think that he would ask us this morning. He would ask the sinner this morning. What has he done? What has he done that you should take his beautiful, holy, matchless name, the name of Jesus, and use it as a byword and a curse word, and profane that lovely name, and trample on the name of Jesus as if it were the filth of the earth? What has he done that you would use his name that way? What has he done that you would not reverence him? What has he done that you would not reverence his house? What has he done that you would not reverence his church, people? Hallelujah. What has he done that you would pour dope and intoxicants into your body and defile the temple of the Holy Ghost? What has he done that people would respond in such a manner? Pilate said, "What have you done? What has he done
that you would quarrel with this book, that you would find fault with its words. What has he done that you would question him, that you would challenge him? What has he done? Ask the sinner why he curses him. Ask the sinner why there's no reverence. Ask him why he defiles his body. Ask him why he finds fault with the holy word of God, and we could go on and on. What has he done since his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven? I'll tell you what he has done this morning. He has conquered my heart. And he conquered your hearts. And he has conquered the hearts of multitudes around the world. He comforted the bereaved. He has comforted those that are in sorrow. Every time a Christian dies, he has his friends that love Jesus, know Jesus and the power of the new birth, have the holy word of God, and they read that scripture and they are comforted. Praise the Lord through the Spirit of God. What has he done? He has healed many a broken heart. He has restored broken homes. He has delivered multitudes from bondage, the bondage of sin and of Satan. Oh, praise God. I would ask you this morning, what has he done for you? What has he done for you? Let me tell you what he has done for you. He has loved you in spite of the fact that you have taken his name in vain. He has loved you in spite of the fact that you have defiled the temple of God. He has loved you despite the fact that you have been disrespectful toward his church, his people, his holy word. He has loved you in spite of it all. I look at the picture in the entrance with the outstretched hand and the nail through it. And the words above it, Father, forgive. And that's just what Jesus Christ said when they began to pound the nails in his hands. He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. They are ignorant. He has loved us through it all, through our ignorance, through our selfishness, through our foolishness. What has he done for you? He has loved you in spite of yourself. I read a story recently about a man, a poor, ignorant man. He had evidently attended Sunday school in his childhood, and he had heard of the love of Jesus, but the message never did get through to his heart, and he grew up and lived in the world without God. The only thing that he cared for was his dog. And he had to pay tax on that dog. And he was so poor and became so poverty stricken that one day he could not afford to pay the tax. And the authorities told him, you will either have to pay the tax or give up the dog. Kill the dog. This man was so poor he could not raise the tax. So he determined that he would drown his faithful companion. And so they went to the river, the man and his dog. And when they got to the river, he realized he had to do this. So he picked the dog up and threw him in the river and went in after him and began to hold his head under the water. And he had a rock in the other hand and he was beating him on the head, trying to pound him into unconsciousness. When suddenly he lost his balance, he slipped. And he went headlong into the deep water, not knowing how to swim. Passed out. Came up the last time. Suddenly he regained a bit of consciousness and he felt himself being seized and dragged towards shore. And upon reaching the shore, he looked at a dog with bleeding head and sorrowful eyes. The dog had dragged the master to shore and saved his life. That's what Jesus Christ has done for you. When you have been cursing his name, when you have been defiling his temple, when you have been disrespectful and irreverent, when you have been living your own selfish life, Jesus Christ has loved you through it all. While you were trying to destroy him in your life, he was trying to save you all the time. Oh, praise God. What has he done? That's what he has done. What hast thou done? Pilate said to Jesus. Let's change that this morning. What have you ever done for him? What have we ever done for him? Have you ever given him anything? You know what he wants? He wants your heart. He wants your life. He who stood in judgment before Pilate has now become the judge of all the earth. And it's you and I that are on the stand, not Jesus Christ. Now he will ask the question, what hast thou done? Have you ever given him your heart? He loves you this morning. He loves you with so great a love that while you were trying to kill him out of your life, kill his influence on your life, he has loved you through it all. What can you give him this morning? You can give him your heart. You can give him your life. Let's close our eyes a moment. Lord Jesus, we stand, we sit in your holy presence this morning. Lord, we have read and meditated from thy word this morning. Lord, when Pilate, acting as judge, asked you the question, what hast thou done? Lord, you answered nothing, except that my kingdom is not of this world. You're not trying to overthrow the Roman government. You have your own kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, and you would have others join that kingdom this morning. Jesus, I believe there are people here that need to make a commitment to you. Lord, you know who they are, where they sit right now. And I thank you, Lord, that your presence, your anointing is here. Your power to save them and deliver them from the clutches of the devil, the bondage of sin, is here. Lord, your power to forgive them their sins is here. The accusation the Jews that hated you made against you. Oh, thank God it's true that you do forgive sin. Lord, that you are a friend of sinners. Thank God it's true. Should there be a sinner this morning, Lord, here, let him know the truth, that you are his friend, that you love him. And though he has profaned your name, though he has defiled your body, your temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost, his temple, his body, you are willing to forgive him this morning and drag him to shore from the waters of sin. Oh, Jesus, speak to hearts right now, Lord. Lord, this is your business. This is your work. You said, I will build my church. Lord, the Bible teaches us that the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. The Bible teaches us that it is your will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, we thank you for the cross of Calvary this morning, where judgment and mercy met together, where they kissed each other. Lord, the just demands of a holy God were met, satisfied, and paid for once for all. And now we can come to the foot of that old rugged cross and find love and mercy. Receive your righteousness imputed unto us. We can become your children through faith. Oh, Jesus, let those in this congregation hear your word this morning and know, Lord Jesus, that by grace we are saved through faith. It is not of works. It is a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Lord, may anyone here meeting you this morning be able, Lord, to lay aside their past record of good works and bring their past record of evil works to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, let thy blood blot it out and wash me white as snow. And Lord, we know you do it. We have your word this morning and you cannot lie. I know what you're teaching us, Lord. You're teaching us that no matter what a man has been, you will make him what he ought to be. And you will invest your spirit into him, enabling him to be what he ought to be. Speak, Lord. Speak to us. While we just keep our eyes closed in prayer, I would remind us all this morning that Jesus Christ
not only died, was buried, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven, but he is coming back again. He is coming for those that have accepted the finished work of the cross of Calvary. And I wonder this morning if there isn't one more that would like to join that throng, that happy, satisfied throng that is looking and waiting for Jesus to come. Is there anyone this morning that would indicate the same by raising their hand? Would you close your eyes, please? Thank you. Is there anyone that would indicate the same by lifting their hand this morning? I want Jesus to come into my heart. I receive him as my Savior. I will ask him to forgive me of my sins. I confess I am a sinner. I have wronged him. Is there anyone? God bless the thanks. Amen. Oh, there will be a new life in Jesus. A brand new life in Jesus. He will wash away your sins. He will save you. He will satisfy you. He will give you something worth living for that you have never known before. It's a new life in Christ. He will baptize you with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Lord, as we continue in prayer this morning, we thank you for these that have indicated with an uplifted hand, Lord, that they want to be your child. They want to live for you. They want to follow you. Lord, I pray right now that you would give them that power, even as the Word says. He gave them power to become the sons of God, even for them that believe on his name. Lord, we know that this is a supernatural happening. That you do the work. And we ask you to do the work. And we thank you for doing the work. And in Jesus' name, God bless these, Lord. Bless this congregation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we sing that chorus just to Ruth? One chorus in closing this morning. What hast thou done, dear saint of God? What hast thou done, sinner? It's the Lord. It's the Lord that sits on the judgment seat. It's you and I that stand at the judgment bar. He'll ask the questions. I think we've answered this morning what he has done. He has done everything that he could possibly do. The Bible says God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Praise the Lord. Now the question is, what have you done? What can I give him for love?